Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, fell among robbers, left him half dead. A priest going down that road passed by on the other side, and also a Levite. But a Samaritan, one who isn't even of the nation, a Samaritan, saw him and had compassion. Title for the sermon. Theology, and religion, by the way, is not just some remote study of God and you cannot graduate from it. You cannot graduate. Those who are in confirmation class, you cannot graduate from it. Let's start out by going where we know we're going, because we're going to get there, and we may as well go there right from the beginning. Jesus. The reason why the Good Samaritan is good is because what he does reflects what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. There we are. So the Good Samaritan, his actions are a picture of the actions of God, the ultimate Good Samaritan, of Jesus, who was a foreigner to our race. He was a foreigner and an alien to our race. Had to be born to become one of us. He didn't have to do it. You know the response? But he did. Jesus, who saw our need and did not walk by on the other side, cared for us, and it cost him tremendously. He did not have to do it. Now you know the response. But he did. Join me the next time. He saw us in our sin. He came to carry that sin, to make it his own, and was condemned and crucified and forsaken in our place. He did not have to do it, but he did. John 15, greater love has no man than this, that one laid down his life for his friends. You are my friends, said Jesus. He did not have to do it, but he did. The parable of the Good Samaritan is not there so that we can figure out how to be good. It's not the purpose. The parable is spoken to someone, a teacher of the law, a lawyer of religious things, who, desiring to justify himself, said, who's my neighbor? And then Jesus told the parable. The parable is there in order to convict, to not let that man out of understanding that he has fallen short. He wants to do something to have eternal life. Tell me, what can you do to get eternal life? Silence. Not a darn thing you can do to get eternal life. But this man wants to justify himself, and he takes what the law of God says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And he figures, okay, the first one I've done. Really? No, he hasn't. But he doesn't get that part, so he goes on to the second and says, and exactly who is my neighbor? And Jesus tells the parable to not let him out of it. Have you done what is necessary for eternal life? Answer, no. Okay. There we are, the purpose of the parable. That's why we started out by saying, let's go where we're going to go, talking about Jesus. So you know that there's a destination to all of this. The parable is there in order to convict everyone, to leave no one able to walk away priding yourself in your good works. Besides which, why would you want to pride yourself in your good works? Why would you want to say, this is my righteousness in front of God? Why would I need my righteousness when there's another righteousness right there available for me, which is the righteousness of Jesus? His goodness, his good works, his love clothing me, and God saying, this is how I will see you, clothed in the holiness of Jesus, with all of your sins taken away and with the holiness of Jesus given to you. So why would I want my own good works? I don't need them. And God doesn't need them either. There's a third part to that, but before we get to that, back to the title, theology. And religion, by the way, is not just some remote study of God, and you cannot graduate from it. For us as Lutherans, we have a tradition. The theology begins and ends, and it is involved in every part of it from beginning to end with the salvation of souls. Okay? Let's say it a deeper way. Let's borrow some words. Billy Graham had a saying, whenever I preach, I keep in mind that there may be some person there for whom that might be the only chance they have to hear the plan of salvation. And if I have not told them that, I have failed. Do you know where Billy Graham got that statement? Seems he was listening to the Lutheran Hour way back when. And that was the statement, that was the theme of the first preacher of the Lutheran Hour, Walter A. Meyer. And he took that as his theme. Pretty good, isn't it? Let's go at it a third time. Say it another way. Theology. Theology really is not our study of what we can say about God. It isn't. Instead, theology is simply what God tells us about himself. Nothing more, nothing less, nothing else. So here's theology. You can join in when you want to. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. That's theology. It came from God. Here's theology. This is from Easter morning. But go tell my brothers, I ascend to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Okay, that's theology. Here's theology. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Spoken by God, and it's about God, and that's the best we can get. And here's theology, Genesis 1. So God made man in his image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them and said. Okay. That's from God. And the interesting thing about that bit of theology is it makes your neighbor one who is created in the image of God. And when your neighbor is one who's created in the image of God, then you have the parable of the Good Samaritan. Because part of religion is how you treat your neighbor who's created in the image of God. And there's a story. I used to tell my kids when they were growing up and getting in arguments with each other, which the next to last thing that happens in the argument is the name calling. Okay? At which point, I'd pull out a verse from James. That says, with the same tongue, we bless our Lord and Father and curse men who have been made in the image of God. My brothers, this should not be. Can fresh and salt water come from the same spring? And so on. So the question ran like this. Your brother who you just called a name to, or a name at, who's your brother made in the image of? God. So then, who did you call that name? Head goes down much lower. God. It worked. Had to be done over and over again, but it worked. And then in the Lutheran school, that one class that was treating each other very badly out on the playground and calling each other names, again, it worked. Because your neighbor is made in the image of God. That's why the prophets in the Old Testament, you know, the prophets in the Old Testament, when they were lighting into the people of Israel and saying, you should not be doing this, how dare you do this? Very often it would go like this. Your neighbor, who you've treated badly, who do you think your neighbor is made in the image of? Who does your neighbor belong to? Who has loved your neighbor? God, God, God. That's a lesson. So you have the parable of the product, or the parable of the Good Samaritan. And then what happens after that is you have, well, for our congregation, Thursday, August 1st, from 8:30 a.m. until noon. You know what happens then? We welcome a whole bunch of our neighbors to come in and to have shoes fitted. And some of us are going to be kneeling down and fitting the shoes and poking at the toes and saying, does this fit, does this fit? Walk a little bit. Because these are neighbors who are created in the image of God. And it's part of our worship. Worship. Second one, religion. What is religion? Is it what we do as believers in Jesus? No, 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 no. That's not the Bible religion. The Bible religion, quite strangely, is something that we don't have any part in. We are spectators because the one who is doing the religion of the Bible is the one who is going and making the sacrifice. And he's the one who took that sacrifice and went to Mount Calvary, and that's the religion of the Bible. It is what God has done for us, not that we can do something for God. And in the plan of salvation, it is completely the doing of God. And we simply stand by the side and we say, yes, this is true. Sins are forgiven, life, salvation, eternity, all of that is given by God to us, and we're simply here receiving what God has done, and there's a word for that. It's called grace, God's riches at Christ's expense. That's the religion of the Bible. It started out back in the Garden of Eden. The seed of the woman will crush the head of the devil and be wounded in that battle. And it's all about Jesus. Continues on through Genesis. Mount Moriah, where Abraham is told by God, take your son, your only son, whom you love. Sounds like words from God the Father, doesn't it? Talking about Jesus. Take your son, your only son, whom you love, and take him to Mount Moriah, to the place I will show you. Which, by the way, in the New Testament, the name shifts and it's then called Calvary. Take him there and offer him as a sacrifice. And so they go, and the wood is put on Isaac, and they go up the mountain. And Abraham builds the altar, lays out the wood, lays his son on the altar, and then reaches out to take the knife. And God says, okay, no more, no more. You're not the father who will sacrifice his son on this mountain. God the Father is the one who will sacrifice his son on this mountain for the sins of the world. That's the religion of the Bible. That Abraham, he's not allowed to do it. It is all the doing of God. And a wonderful thing that is, because if God left a part of it for us to do, would we do it right? No. So, the religion of the Bible. True religion is what God has done for us. And then we come back to the parable. And we come back to the parable of the Good Samaritan with this wonderful saying. And it goes like this. God does not need my good works, but my neighbor does. That's pretty good. God does not need my good works, but my neighbor does. So what do we do? I love how John says it. We love because he first loved us. And then the stories come along. Christians showing love and care for their neighbor. And maybe the neighbor was one who didn't treat the Christian very kindly and wonders, why are you doing this act of love? You know how I treated you. And the Christian replies, do you know what Jesus did for me? How can I do anything else? Or the stories come along of Christians facing suffering, maybe from illness or problems in their life. Someone else walking by looks and sees a Christian willing to bear suffering. I've heard these stories time and time again in the hospital. And it ends like this, and the Christian replies, do you know what Jesus suffered for me? My sufferings, they don't even compare. And the stories come along of Christians who are asked, why do you insist on going to church? You could be playing golf, going fishing, cooking out. Now, there's a huge list of what you could be doing instead. Sleeping in. And the Christian replies, do you know how Jesus lived for me? How can I do anything else than go and worship him? And this is our worship. What we do in life as well as what we say with our mouths. We use the phrase in talking about worship, we repeat back to God what he has first said to us. That's true. And it doesn't only have to do with words. We repeat back to God with our lives. And you see your neighbor in need, and you care for him. And the reason why is because of what God has spoken to you, what he has first said to you, what he has first done for you, what he has done in showing his love for you. And in your neighbor, you are repeating back to God what he has first said to you. Which includes when your neighbor sins against you. And you seek to restore your neighbor, put back together, care for, forgive, restore relationships instead of holding a grudge. You're repeating back to God what he has first said. This one is from the cross. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And it was what God said to you. Oh, God does not need my good works. I don't need them to carry them into judgment day and boast about them. That would be silly. But my neighbor does. And it's part of my worship to my Lord and my Savior who has done so much for me. In Jesus' name, amen.